ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So this morning we'll speak about the second verse of Damodara Ashtakam and then continue with Srimad Bhagavatam. Rudantam muhur netra yugmam rajantam karam bhoja yugmena shatanka netram Muhushashakampa Chire Kanka Kanta Stitagraivam Damodaram Bhakti Badham. Omogyana Timirantasya Jinanjana Shalakaya Shakshuran Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanamano Bistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Pada Mayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitamstam Sativam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamstha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagarpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Krishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Padita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 So the meaning is that Yashoda Mai is chasing Krishna and Krishna is crying, Rudantam, please don't punish me, please don't punish me. Rudantam Mubur Netram Yugamam Rajantam. And he's rubbing his eyes with his hands, either to wipe away the tears or to stop tears. Karam bhoja yugmena shatanka netra. His eyes are full of fear and he's breathing heavily and his body is shaking and he's wearing a pearl necklace and that necklace is also shaking. And stitagraivam damodaram bhakti badham. That personality of Godhead is bound not by ropes. Because when Yashoda Mai was trying to tie Krishna up with ropes, however many ropes she had, it was always two fingers too short. So the ropes were not going to do the job. But it was by Krishna's mercy that, all right, I'll let you tie me up. You're struggling too hard, so that's all right. That means bhakti bandham. Krishna can't be tied up with ropes. That Duryodhana also, when Krishna came as a messenger to the court of the Kauravas, then Duryodhana became exasperated. Just arrest that cowherd boy. But what kind of arrest could they do? Krishna showed a universal form. Go ahead, arrest me. So that means that Krishna can't be limited, captured, tied, anything by any material force, but bhakti bhata. He's attracted and becomes subservient to pure devotional service. Bhaktyam aham abhijanati. Not by karma, not by gyan, not by yoga, not by any other means. But when there's pure devotional service, yayatam aham prapadyante tam stitayavabhijanati. So Yashoda Mayi is expressing her spontaneous love for Krishna in the in maternal affection, and so she has to straighten him out, she has to punish him. And Krishna is reciprocating, just like an ordinary child, although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kunti Devi also expressed astonishment that fear personified is afraid of Krishna, and yet he's running in fear of Yashoda Mayi. So this is all wonderful. These are the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. Raja Tad Yagya Sadhanam Pravishto Nishi Tarshitaha Drishtva Shayanan Viprams Tan Papau Mantra Chalang Swayam Raja Tad Yagya Sadhanam Pravishto Nishitarshitaha Krishtva Shayanan Vipranstan Papau Mantra Jalam Swayam Raja, the king, Yuvanashva Tad Yagya Sadhanam, the arena of sacrifice. Pravishtaha, entered. Nishi, at night. Darshataha, being thirsty. Drishtva, seen. Shayanan, lying down. Vipran, all the brahmanas. Tan, all of them. Papau, drank. Mantra jalam, water sanctified by mantras. Swayam, personally. Being thirsty one night, the king entered the arena of sacrifice, and when he saw all the Brahmins lying down, he personally drank the sanctified water meant to be drunk by his wife. Purport. Yagyas performed by brahmanas according to Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are so potent that the sanctifying of water by Vedic mantras can bring about the desired result. In this instance, the brahmanas sanctified the water so that the king's wife might drink it in the yagya. But by providence, the king himself went there at night and, being thirsty, drank the water. Raja tad yagya saranam pravishto nishitarshitaha drishtva shayanan vipran stan papao mantra jalam swayam. Thank you.
Well, this was strange. The Brahmins had sanctified the water so that the queen could have a child, and instead the king became thirsty and apparently sneaked in, really, to the yajna, saw everyone, all the Brahmins are lying down, okay, we can drink the water, being thirsty. So this was certainly strange, and Srila Prabhupada comments that it was by providence. The same thing, or a similar thing, happened in the life of Maharaj Parikshit. He entered the cottage of a sage and was thirsty, some water. And the sage was in meditation, he didn't even offer anything. So the king became exasperated and, all right, garlanded him with a snake, cold reception reciprocated. Unusual, because the Parikshit Maharaj was a cultured Vedic king. He certainly knew how to treat a sage, how to respect a sage. But somehow or other, he became thirsty, he entered the cottage, he insulted the sage, and was cursed by the sage's son. You die within 7 days. So in that instance also, it was by the will of providence. Finally, providence is in control. In the Bhagavad Gita, Adhishtanam tathakarta karanam cha pratagvidham vividhascha pratagchesta daivam chaivancha panchana. In the accomplishment of any action, there are five factors involved. Adhishtanam, the body. Karta, the person who's doing the thing. Adhishtanam tathakarta and karanam cha pratagvidham. The different senses. If you've got the senses of an eagle, you can do one thing. If you've got the senses of a dog, you can do another thing. If you've got powerful senses, you can do something. Weak senses, something else. So the senses and the mind, the tenth sense. So the senses are involved. Karanam cha pratak vidham and vividhas cha pratak cheshta. And the different kinds of endeavor. Do nothing, get nothing. Endeavor has to be there. And finally, daivam chayavatra panchama. The fifth item is daiva. Daiva means ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or daiva means, sometimes Prabhupada translates it, fate or destiny. But destiny is finally controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, what is that? Shiriravan manobhir yat karma prarabhate naraha nyayam va viparitam va panchayate tasya hetava. Everything we do is controlled by these, or involves these five factors. What is that? Kartaram atmanam kevalatuya pashyatcha krita buddhitvan nasa pashyati durmatihi. Tatrayavam satikartanam. Therefore, anyone who thinks that I alone determine what happens in my life is durmati. That means he's a fool. He has bad intelligence. And nasapashati, he can't see things straight. But this foolishness is systematically taught.
It's up to you to create your future by your positive thinking, by the way you look at life. That determines your fate. It's all up to you. Your future's in your hands. You can make it happen. Think and grow rich. No. In America, there's a story that every school child learns about a little train that wants to cross a hill, needs to cross a hill, very important thing. And so it's impossible. He's just a broken down little train. But he starts to get up his courage. I think I can. And then, woo, woo, I think I can. Over the hill, yay. So every child learns, you know, if you think you can, you can. But that's not how it works. If you think you can, sometimes you can. And sometimes destiny intervenes. I saw some article, some very powerful Olympic star, American, I think, was supposed to appear at the Olympics, and he was like for sure going to win the medal. And his plane was late. That was it. His plane. Couldn't catch the plane, or the plane couldn't take off, couldn't get there in time. He had he was the person, he had the right body, he had the right senses, he was ready with the endeavor, but Daiva Chaiva Trapanchamam. Daiva stepped in and said, sorry, you're grounded. That's how it works. King Pariksit should have lived a long life and prosperous and had a great kingdom and everything. And instead, Daiva stepped in and said, no, you're going to die in 7 days. And the expression is, you can't fight City Hall. American expression. It means when the government's against you, what can you do? So, of course, the American government, you can still do something. But when Krishna steps in, then you're helpless. You can't do anything. So, Daivam, first of all, Daivam means destiny. What is destiny? Destiny is the result of our previous activities. So we think we're all headed for success, or this is going to happen, that's going to happen. But as a result of our previous activities, boom, something else happens. Or you think you're going to fail, and it becomes a great success by dint of previous activities. It's not just our present mindset or our present capabilities or the configuration of the political situation. Finally, it's our previous activities. You get elected or you don't get elected. Finally, by Daivam, on account of destiny. Then destiny we create to some extent, but it's also under the supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Karmana Daivine Trena. What is that? Yes. Suyate Sacharacharam. What is that? Mayadhyakshena. Mayadhyakshena. Under my supervision, everything is running. Not automatically. The materialists, they're totally bewildered. Things just happen. Fate just means chance. And they make it a philosophy. Things happen because of the laws of chance. Right? The laws of chance cause things to happen. This is rubbish. I have it on the authority of Sataputta Prabhu, who is a mathematician. And he explained that statistics don't make anything happen.
If you say that there's a 50% chance or an 80% chance, that doesn't make something happen. You're just describing what happens in terms of statistical norms. But statistics don't make anything happen. I'll give you an example. How many people here know someone who's been divorced? You've been divorced or you know someone who's been divorced. How many people here? Okay, it's India. Oh, wow, even in India, a lot of people know. Okay. And the divorce rate, I hear it's even in Bombay, is 50%. Right? If you're married, there's a 50-50 chance that you'll be divorced, at least in America and Bombay. Now, those who know someone who's been divorced, how many would you say that this couple got divorced to fulfill the statistical imperative? It wasn't because he was cheating on her. It wasn't because she was being witchy. It wasn't because they ran out of money and this happened and that. It wasn't any of those things. It had nothing to do with compatibility, incompatibility. It was simply because we needed a few more divorces to keep things at 50%. That's not how things happen. Things happen for reasons. And then after they happen for reasons, we tally it up and we say, okay, there's a 50% chance, 80% chance, whatever it is. Things don't happen by chance. Things don't happen to fulfill statistical imperatives. Things happen for reasons. You know, in New York, like what? There'll be like, on average, 8 deaths from people falling on the subway tracks in a year. So, you know, if 7 have gone down, now an 8th person has to go down to fulfill the statistic. No. Someone pushed him, or he was drunk, or there was a reason. So things happen for reasons. And we may or may not know what those reasons are, but there are reasons. Nothing happens, just happens by chance. The universe doesn't come into existence by chance. We don't get inhabitable planets by chance. We don't get life arising by chance. We don't get different species appearing by chance. Nothing happens by chance. Things happen for reasons, which is not really a radical proposal, that there are reasons for things. Every reasonable person ought to accept that. So in the followers of Vedic knowledge understand that these reasons extend not only from the last 20 minutes or the last 20 years, but from lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes. And therefore, who can predict, who can know that on account of something that I did 5 lifetimes ago, now this is going to happen? But that's how justice works. Sooner or later, we get the results of our previous activities. So that's daiva. That's destiny. That's called destiny or fate, which is not just blind, but which works according to rules. Then behind all those rules is the personality of Godhead. The law of karma itself doesn't just happen to work. It works because there's so much like the laws, you know. You speed and you'll get a ticket. That's not just something that happens. It's because there's a management in charge. Without management, without enforcement, there'd be no law. There'd be no law. So the laws of nature are managed and enforced by the supremely intelligent personality of Godhead. And when these things happen, we say it was destiny, it was chance, it was an accident. But actually it's Krishna.
then sometimes, apart from that, apart from Krishna's role in managing the laws of nature through a portion of a portion of a plenary portion, sometimes he just moves in and directly does things. You can't say no. You can't say no. You're God. You have to be in the background. I'll be in the background if I want to be in the background. And if I want to be in the front, I'll be there. That's Krishna. So sometimes he intervenes. Sometimes he himself makes something happen. Particularly in the lives of his devotees. Otherwise, why intervene? Why get involved in this stupid material world with the insignificant dealings of the prisoners who've been consigned to material existence? Why get involved in all that? Depute it to a portion of a portion of a portion of a portion who can oversee the modes of nature and let the modes of nature deal with these criminals. That's the ordinary course of affairs. But when Krishna wants to, he personally gets involved. What is that? Avanyas chintiyanto mam ye jana paryupasate. What is that? Nitya yukta biyukta nam yoga kshema vahamya. When someone's always engaged in my service, I personally carry what he needs. Vahamya, I personally do it. I don't wait for the modes of nature to play out. I get involved. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami mashuja. Someone surrenders to me, I personally give him liberation. Mokshiyashyami, it's first person. I do it. I give him liberation. Material nature doesn't give anyone liberation. I give him liberation. Vardhatami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. From within his heart, I give him the intelligence. Otherwise he wouldn't have had it, but because he's engaged in my service, I personally give him the intelligence. Or for that matter, even the non-devotees, I personally give them bad intelligence, dur matihi. That also comes from me. You can't even be a fool without Krishna's sanction. Matasmitir gyanam apolanamsha. So finally, it's Krishna who's involved in everything, right, left, and center. And it was Krishna who was involved in this case also. Some plan was there, something was destined to happen. So either directly or indirectly, Krishna's acting as Daiva or Providence. So finally, the devotee takes everything as providence. Whether it's material nature acting, Krishna acting directly, either way it's Krishna. So, tatte nukampam susamikshaman. The devotee takes everything as Krishna's mercy. He accepts. Is that all right? This is Krishna's arrangement. Let me engage in Krishna's service in all circumstances. Then mokshiyashyami mashuja. Krishna personally takes care of him. Krishna personally frees him from all material entanglement. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupiyantite. Hare Krishna. Are there some questions? Yes, Mr. Goda.
After suffering.
Whoa, Pancha Goda first, big men first.
Oftentimes one blame others for the things that happen to us. Oftentimes one blame others, because of him or her, preaching what I was also asking, Buddha just to you. So Krishna appears one time in the day of Brahma, but parents generally look after their children repeatedly, make sure that they're okay. And it seems like a long period of time before Krishna comes and re-instructs us or appears before us to help us understand that, you know, things that we're doing in this material world are wrong or temporary, and how we should appreciate that everything's happening because of Krishna's mercy. Why doesn't it show up more often?
That depends also. For someone, it takes a long time. When he's 80, he meets devotees and starts to understand something. And someone else is born in a family of devotees and from the very beginning understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why? Why is someone... Again, they'll say it's chance. Someone's born in a rich family, someone's born in a poor family, someone's born in a pious family, someone's born in a... Well, we don't have impious families, we just have nice atheistic families, according to their view. But they'll just say it's by chance. But from the Vedic point of view, karma na daivine trena, by Krishna's arrangement, someone's... And by, what is that in the Bhagavad Gita? Shuchinam shimatam gehe yoga brashta vijayate. According to the progress we've made, we may take birth in a Brahmin family or prosperous family, family of devotees. Kule bhavati dhimatam. So it's Krishna's arrangement. It's not always slow. Sometimes it's like from early on. But for most of us, it's slow. What can we do?
And two questions. One is, I want to hear your opinion about, am I the maker of my destiny or life is predestined?
Are you the maker of your destiny or things are predestined? You're the maker of your destiny within the confines of your free will. Yeah, I'd like to make my destiny that I become the next Rockefeller or Birla or whoever. But I can't just make my destiny clean slate. Whatever I want to do, it'll happen. I think I can. Within some small area of independence. And the main thing is, do I use my independence properly or do I misuse my independence? Do I turn toward Krishna or away from Krishna? If I turn away from Krishna, then I'll be controlled by material energy. And if I turn toward Krishna, then Daivim Prakritim Ashrita, I come under the shelter of the spiritual energy. That's up to me. So in that way, I'm the creator of my fate. I always have free choice. Otherwise, Krishna would be responsible for everything. You know, whatever you do, it's all Krishna's fault. But we have some small independence. And therefore, that use of independence or misuse is up to us. Is that okay?
Yes.
Second.
It seems like Dhritarashtra suffering from the hundred sons' death was so severe versus Mahabharata explained that 100 years before he ate 50 little chicks out of his... he was a royal king at that time too. He wanted to have some barbecue type of flavor. But that pleasure was not as much compared to the tremendous suffering. So is that fair?
Yeah. You know, you steal some insignificant... You steal a car. How much pleasure will you get from the stolen car? You can, you know, zoom, zoom, drive around the block a little bit. You can do something with the stolen car. But then you get thrown in jail and you become, what's the word, disgraced. You cause so much anxiety to your family. You have to spend the next however many years in jail. You have to pay a fine. All these terrible things happen to you in jail. Then you get out and you can't get a job and, you know, all these things. Why? And what pleasure did you get? That's material nature. Actually, the pleasure is manogatan. It's a mental concoction. There is no pleasure. Sarvan partha manogatan. It's all a mental concoction. And for that mental concoction, so much trouble. Sex, how much pleasure? But how much suffering? It's all disproportionate.
In
a little slower, please. In ISKCON what?
In ISKCON, the solidity of divorce, right?
Divorce.
So many cases of divorce. Why is that?
Within
ISKCON. Because there are so many marriages. So this is my answer to the problem of divorce. Just reduce the number of marriages. And yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a nice class. Actually, I have two questions. One is that, one second.
Hold on, you're getting a microphone.
The first question is that how much is, if we say, like, percentage of...
It works when you hold it close.
How much we can say is a percentage of karma... Like when you were initially telling that there are five things involved, and only one thing is daivam, and four things were to us. So, how can I understand how much is the importance of daiva and the four things which are in our hands?
Finally, daiva is more important than all of them. How much strength do you have? How much endeavor? How powerful are your senses? Finally, it's daiva that's really the power here. You may be totally lined up with your senses, with your everything. There's just a business example. There was an old company in America when we were growing up that marketed a kind of mint. And they were everywhere. They were a breath mint, and they were a candy mint. And they had television ads, and they were the mint, you know? Like, they were the big name in mints. They had a great marketing department and a great product, da 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 da. So what happened? Small problem. The name of the mint was AIDS. AIDS. So along came HIV, and all of their effort that had gone into marketing, all that brand recognition, it all went to hell. What could they do? It was hopeless. Another example, I had a friend, close friend that I grew up with in high school, good looking, intelligent, popular, resourceful, and when he was in his early 20s, he was in a car accident and paralyzed for life. That means daiva trumps everything. We think that we're very powerful. We're little tiny creatures. We can do something. But daiva has supreme power. And we're thinking it's all up to us. It's madness. And even if you think, take into account the other four things, they all depend on daiva also. Your senses come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're the energy of the Personality of Godhead. Your body comes from the Personality of Godhead. Your endeavor is only possible by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So actually all five features, they're all the Personality of Godhead. They're all dependent on the Personality of Godhead. But in one feature, it's Him personally. And the other four, we think, I'm the actor, it's the plays, it's this, that. Finally, sarva karana karana. Krishna is the cause of everything. Whatever causes anything, it's Krishna that causes that.
Maharaj, when we hear this, we'll we'll become lazy in our lives working for things. Because we know that it's all due to Daiva.
That's all due to Daiva, then you can blame your laziness on Daiva. But that's your responsibility. It's not that everything is, you know, Krishna says, I've already killed Bhishma, Drona, Jayadrata, everybody, Tatanyan, they're all gone. But Nimitta Matra Bhava Savyasachi, you have to do something. You have to take the credit for the fight. That's my desire. But Yateshasi Tatakuru, you can do as you like. If you want to become known as the coward of Kurukshetra, run away. Go beg. It's up to you. Your destiny is already lined up. Everyone's killed by me. But now you have to do something. You can't just kick back and say, all right, let Krishna, you kill everyone. You have to do something. And you have that tiny independence, you take the seeds of Thakuru. No, despite everything you've said, I'm not going to fight. All right? Then suffer. Hitva papam of kirtim cha, tata sudharmam kirtim cha, hitva papam of apshasi. You'll give up your dharma, you'll give up your reputation, you'll sacrifice your reputation, and what will you get? You'll get sinful reactions. You think you're going to get sinful reactions by fighting, you're actually going to get sinful reactions by refusing to perform your prescribed duty. But if that's what you want to do, that's up to you. Otherwise, I've already, just like Prabhupada said, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Pritiviti Yatache Nagaradi Gram, Sarbatra Prachar Hoibe Morna. My name will be spread everywhere, in every village and town. So Prabhupada said, that means it's already decided, you just go out there and take the credit. Go out there and preach and take the credit. Otherwise, Prabhupada said, someone else will do it. So that's up to you. You want to be lazy? Someone else will get the credit. Otherwise, you take up the charge, you get the credit. And credit doesn't mean just popular credit. It means Krishna becomes appreciative. You get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, this man is doing my work. And you become glorious also. Prithu Prabhu, you met your quota.
But I agree that when you answer this question, why so many matches fail, managers, I agree, I personally have experienced that I was told that a certain student was married somewhere in Friday and I never talked to, but in some way I never talked to work before, and it was probably weeks ago. This is not a good basis for marriage. Just to be up to Sunday feast. So managers have done their lot in this regard. I don't see them married to each other. They are compatible for example. But there are other factors as well. Because in the material world, most marriages, some of them, one factor is why they work is because of sex. There's a large amount of sex out there. And that attaches people to each other.
Really?
Yes, I gave you an example. One of our devotees, he told me, you know, that his parents would fight physically with each other. And then they became in front of the kids, overcome by lust and had sex right there in Germany. So sex is one cementing factor.
Yes.
Children is another cementing factor.
Yes.
Another thing is traditional marriage is the true factor. Because it says the influence of feminism in a marriage is a very difficult thing to take from that. It's very difficult. I have personally experienced with very, by my parents, a very traditional marriage. I've never seen an argument between my mother and my father, not once. And so they had clear roles, defined roles, traditional roles, and that kept the marriage together. So these are, besides the managers, yes, these are some other factors that we are trying to track Krishna consciousness, but our background is not that they have seen the role models in our parents.
That's certainly, I mean, I sidestepped the question, of course, because we could spend a year-long seminar talking about all the ins and outs of married life and why marriages work, why they fail. So certainly there's so many contributing features, some of which you've mentioned. Part of it is that actually all marriages fail. There's always going to be some failure. There's always going to be some dissatisfaction. There's always going to be some incompatibility. There's always going to be something short of Lakshmi Narayan in this material world. But Vedic culture means tam stitik shasva. You put up with it. Why? Because you took a vow. Lord Ramchandra went to the forest. It's not that he decided after 6 weeks, wow, it's pretty hard out here. It wasn't what I expected. You take a vow. King Shibi, I'll protect this pigeon. I'll even give my flesh an equal amount for this pigeon. Great vow. But then they put the pigeon on the scale. It's 10 kilos, it's 20 kilos, it's 40 kilos. It's his whole body. He doesn't say, well, wait a second, you know, I bargained for ordinary pigeon weight, not for 40 kilos. You took a vow, that's it. That's it, you took a vow. You can't say, well, I didn't know, I was inexperienced. You have to understand. Doesn't matter, you took a vow, that's it. Initiation vows. One has to follow them. That's it. Not that later you reconsider or you extenuating circumstances or I was young and I blah, 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 blah. It's a vow. You must. So initiation vows, marriage vows, sannyas vows, all these vows. Doesn't matter what later I might think or how it later turns out, or that later it's not what I thought it was. It's a vow. I stick to it. That's Vedic culture. But because we're whimsical, we say, well, but, and then, you know, the litany starts to be recited, all the reasons why. But so marriage means there'll be problems. There must be problems. It comes with the package. Anyone who thinks that they're going to have a problem-free marriage is an idiot. There must be problems. But Vedic culture means you put up with it. That's all. Then all those other things are there too, which could fill the rest of the seminar, but that point I wanted to make. Another question or comment or what have you? Ooh, we're at 8:59. Yes.
Thank you so much for your presentation. My question is that for a practicing devotee, we understand that by the Yoga Sutra Prabhupada's mercy that Krishna is directly in control. And the goal is also fixed, as in achieving perfect devotion service. Now, within that realm, Maharaj, should a devotee just focus on intensifying one's sadhana day by day? Or should a devotee also try to understand my past karma, my destiny, in terms of astrology?
Should one focus on one's destiny, or should one try to understand things by astrology? What is my destiny, and so on. Regardless of what your destiny is, your focus on your sadhana, focus on chanting Hare Krishna, focus on serving Krishna. Because I can tell you what your destiny is going to be if you don't. Is Maya's trick, oh, because of destiny. No. We chant Hare Krishna, we follow the orders of the spiritual master, our destiny will be good. Giriraj Maharaj one time went to meet some life member. The life member happened to be a palm reader. And he, so, you know, in the course of things, he read Maharaj's palm, and the
the astrologer predicted that he would leave Krishna consciousness. So then Giriraj Maharaj was quite troubled, and he went to see Prabhupada. This was Bombay. Prabhupada, this is what happened. Prabhupada said, three claps before the deities, and all the lines on your palm change. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila.